Inside the Huddle, sponsored by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. Welcome on this wonderful Saturday morning. Kyle Etherington, joined by Melissa Miller. Melissa, sitting in for Sam Wirt today. Melissa, it is less than a week away until Halloween. You got your costume picked out?
Hey, we don't even do that stuff anymore because we're normal. Well, the costume I got would be pair of overalls or coveralls, depending on how cold it is.
Well, I like how in the weather forecast you said put your sunglasses away, and because my regular glasses are broken, I'm wearing sunglasses in studio today.
Yeah, sorry, a little Howard Stern action going on.
Yeah, don't think that we're going to do that, Mr. Casper, please. I would like to keep this job as well, too. Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. Melissa, I'm going to throw it over to you.
We just want to really quickly, everybody here at Casper Media, and especially the Inside the Huddle team, and the play-by-play team, we just want to extend our condolences to the Carroll community. Just they lost a very important part of their Carroll Cougar family. Grant Prather was a student and a fixture on the sidelines, an honorary, as Kyle told me earlier, an honorary captain for the football team, and he unfortunately passed away, and so the students in the school and the community, they're all dealing with that loss, and we'll talk later on to Coach Betzner, but we just want to extend our condolences to the whole Carroll community.
Absolutely. Incredible joy, spirit, and positivity brought to the Carroll communities from the sidelines, inspiring everybody around him. Carroll Athletics also went on to say that his presence and energy will be forever missed as well. So our condolences out to the entire Carroll Cougar family and school community as well. The first quarter, we are talking with Jeremy Findlay of the Clinton Central Bulldogs football team. Coach, good morning.
Morning.
Glad to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for calling in. Last night in Sectional 46, Clinton Central traveled to Cloverdale. At halftime, the score was 14-21 after a back-and-forth first half, but just not able to be able to finish the job as Cloverdale was victorious 42-14. Coach, first of all, overall thoughts on last night's game against the Clovers?
We were, like you said, battling the first half, had some schematic issues the second half, just couldn't close some things out. I mean, you know, here goes the Cloverdale. I mean, you know, like we say every week, everybody has a coaching staff, and they were preparing and ready, and, you know, they were able to rise to the occasion in the second half. You know, super proud of our boys' effort. We fought the whole time. You know, just some days you win, some days you lose.
And I think that was one thing in particularly that you had shared with Sam and myself is the scouting report was right on in terms of, you know, who to take care of with Keyshawn Taylor and some of the other great runners that Cloverdale has. They're a really talented team, and Indianapolis Tinley is definitely going to get their fill of the running game and then some. But last night, especially in the first half, kind of wanted to highlight, it was a really great back-and-forth game that we were broadcasting on the radio station. And the defense, I thought, especially really stepped up with some very close fourth down plays and some goal line stops as well, too.
Yeah, we did the first half, you know, everything we wanted to execute, you know, we came out, got the ball, drove down, scored, caused a turnover, got an interception, was driving, so everything was firing, you know, and then, again, you know, some things happened, and then you just kind of start trying to figure out how to stop the bleeding, and we did a really good job the first half of kind of capping it off. You know, once they got that kind of that second score, lead in the second half, it was just kind of hard for us to overcome that. But our boys fought the whole time. It was I'm so impressed with nobody ever has to come out. Nobody ever puts their head down. It's a great effort from all of our boys.
And especially traveling as far as Clinton Central did last night, can't speak for you, Coach, but my drive from Rossville was roughly around an hour and 30 minutes, especially. So definitely a late last night in terms of it getting down there, but also getting home. With the loss, the seniors' season unfortunately comes to an end. Kind of talk a little bit about the senior class and what you said to the boys after the game.
Well, you know, so we've always known since we've been here that we were trying to reestablish the culture and bring the program back to life. You know, so in our senior class, was the catalyst for all of this. You know, there was a potential scene in the senior class years ago. We tried to align everything and put work in it, and these seniors have done everything. Creed Menon, Amron Barrett, Levi Jacobs, Jordan Wolf, Elijah Gunderson, Byron Martinez. I mean, they just have been here. You know, it's been an amazing 3 years with those guys. They are going to be the reason Clinton Central football survives. You know, and I'm going to be quite frank. What I told the team last night was, my first year, when we had 17 players, we could have bowed out. We could have said, we're not doing this. It's a safety concern. But that's just not who we are at Clinton Central. Right, like we don't give up because the world is against us, and because of that, and because of that class in particular's resiliency and resolve, we doubled the numbers in the programs. We've been able to reestablish our JV program. We've been able to reinvest in our youth and our junior high programs, who both won their championships this year. JV, our junior high team, only lost one game. Youth League went undefeated, you know, and so my message to the team last night was, be sad for these seniors because their walk on the field is over, but hold your head up high, be proud of these guys because their legacy is going to be noticed 3 years from now. 3 years from now, when I'm on this show and we're talking about the success Clinton Central football is having, it doesn't happen without this senior class, and their hard knocks and their lickings they took as freshmen to establish themselves in this league. I was just saying, so like that, my message to the team was, you know, the world's going to look at this as a loss. We're looking at this as, we have just put one more solid brick in our foundation that we're building a quality and a product that our community will be proud of.
And Coach, I was actually going to add to that as well. Coming into this season, it was going to be kind of considered a little bit of a learning curve, especially with the seniors, but also with so many young kids kind of moving up, getting their first taste of varsity experience. Melissa, you and I were talking
off-air
about that as well.
You know, about your freshman and sophomore class coming up. Colin Mooneyhan, I don't know how many times I heard, not only when I was listening to the broadcast, I could hear Kyle and Sam talk about him, but even the other broadcasters that were in the booth, I could hear them mentioning his name and what he's going to be like coming up. So, of course, you know, like you, I'm like you, and you know, I bleed green. The senior class, as you said, has set that legacy, but these kids that are coming up, they're the ones that have looked up to these seniors. These seniors took them under their wing. They have taught them everything they know. And talk about what it means to you to see these younger ones coming up and performing the way they did last night.
Well, let me just tell you this. Let me tell you how much I love Colin Mooneyhan. Colin Mooneyhan wears 51 because, so when I was in high school, I played number 51. That was my number in high school. I've always been very guarded of that number. I've just always had a connection to it. I've never had a player wear it. Colin came to me, he was coming in as a freshman, asked if he could have it. I said, absolutely. So to me, it's a personal connection with Colin because of the number. But I will tell you, I'm so glad you guys mentioned him, because last night I just couldn't of all the things that happened last night, the constant smile on my face was Colin Mooneyhan, and just, gosh dang, that kid is a fighter, isn't he? I mean, he had some kind of lingering, nagging hip issue, but I tell you, that kid is the juggernaut, man. Like, he will run through a brick wall for you if you need him to do that to make sure his team's successful. The number of times I've seen him come out of the pile holding the football last night is just great, you know. And then you still talk about young guys. You got the Keaton and Kyson Allball and Luke Shelley and Travis Robinson. Well, he's a good coach, but Caleb Robinson.
He's pretty good, yeah.
Caleb Griffey, Brody Reed is another one that, you know, he's had some injuries, and unfortunately last night kind of sprained his ankle, and kind of Brody's real attribute is his speed and his quickness, you know. And then so when having kind of the hobble, you know, Chad Keller came in and got a good Coach Finley motivational talk on the sideline and got put back out in the game. I mean, it's just John Dill. I mean, we could just go on and on about our younger players. Gavin Speaks, freshman, who mine and his relationship has been a weird one as a coach and player. But, again, he's one of those kids that's just like Colin Mooneyhan. Like, I asked Gavin last night on the fly, hey, if I need you to play defensive end or go in and play Sam, and at one point Coach Douglas looked at him and was like, can you go in and play three back? And he's like, absolutely. Like he's just one of those kids that will do whatever you need. Tanner Matthews, we had to kind of limit some of Creed's snaps last night. And so, like, that's what I love about our team. And I don't think that a lot of programs who don't deal with numbers issues can appreciate is, I mean, Tanner Matthews never played a single snap of football in his life. And he was playing on major roles and special teams last night in a sectional game.
You didn't notice it, definitely. Especially in that first half, you did not notice that a lot of these kids were freshmen and sophomores. I mean, they graduated and then some last night, I thought, especially going up against a really talented team that could quite possibly win a sectional championship
and
this
let's
year.
Let's go back to Luke Shelley. Holy crap. What a game on both sides of the ball.
Absolutely. And it's funny because in my pregame interview, Sam asked me, one of the questions he asked me was like, what do you guys need to do, or what does the team need to do to see if we can get Luke Shelley more involved? And I simply told him, as long as Creed and Amron are running the ball the way they're supposed to, we should be very successful in the passing game. And that's exactly what happened. Like, they stacked the box, and they were prepared to shut down Amron and Creed. Well, because of that, Luke Shelley was able to slip out and have some good catches. And Luke is a ball hawk, which is why I love having him. I've talked about him and Keaton and Kyson Allball. Like, when I first came over, it was me and those three were on the scout defense. That's what we had for our scout D my first year because of numbers. And so I just really, really love the one-on-one time I got with those three really early in my career here at Central, and established a great relationship. And those are another three that I know if I ever went to them and said, hey, I need you guys to do X, Y, or Z in support of the team and make sure they're successful, they would do that. Caleb Griffey was a blocking back all year. When we lost Braylon Kreider to injury and we moved Canada down, who's a freshman who was starting on the line, he needed some spells, so we were trying to figure out. So we asked Caleb Griffey to step out of his comfort zone and go down and play on the line, and never once complained, strapped it up. That's the tale of Clinton Central football, is the sacrifice for each other, the love for your brother, your community, and it's just amazing. And I'm so proud of our team and our coaches and our community. All of our administrators were there last night. Thank you. We love you all. We love your support. our athletic director, Coach Burlingame, is a great friend of mine, great supporter of the program, was the first one to come out and give me a hug on the field and tell me how proud he was. And I know those things seem like small things, but when you live in a small community and you're really trying to change a culture, not just on the football team, but athletically, just seeing all the community members and administrators and the athletic director and everybody there and just supporting, like, that's what the kids love. That's what they long to see. They look on the sideline and see their favorite teacher, their parents. That, ultimately, that's what it's really for. Like, it's all great with the wins and losses and the X's and O's, but at the end of the day, it's about the product that is being created and being sent to the society. And I tell you, I've never been prouder to be a Bulldog and be their head coach.
Talking with Coach Jeremy Finley of the Clinton Central Bulldogs, season unfortunately ending last night, but definitely there is hope on the horizon indeed, especially the strides made this season from both the experienced players but also the new players as well. Coach, thank you so much for joining us not just today but on a lot of our Saturdays when you've got a busy schedule to begin with. And also thank you so much for the gear that you always bless us with every single time you're in studio as well.
Absolutely. Hey, I would just like to say two things. One, to the Carroll community, I reached out to Coach Betzner yesterday and his wife Haley, who you guys know was a counselor for us. The young man they lost, Clinton Central, your Clinton Central family's here for you if you need us. You know, it's always a huge hit in the family when something like that happens. And unfortunately, you know, we had to go through some of that stuff last year. You know, we love you guys and we pray for you every day. And if you need anything, just know we're here. And second of all, I would just like to thank you all in the studio. I am extremely grateful that you all promote our student athletes, that you are advocates for small schools, and you are out there televising and advocating for us. Because in the world of big ball, it can be very easy for media to overlook small schools, especially when there's trouble on the horizon. And you guys have never done that. You've always been behind Clinton Central, Clinton County, and our schools. A T-shirt or a hat here and there, sir, is minimum compared to what you guys do, and I appreciate everything you do.
Well, we appreciate that, and I do apologize. I had my shirt on last night, so if you want to blame anybody, you can blame me
for last night if you need to. Rock your gear.
All right. Thank you, Coach, for joining us. No juice, no use.
Thank you.
Get some rest, Jeremy.
No juice, no use.
Yep.
Thank you.
Get some rest.
Bye-bye. Yes, ma'am.
That was Jeremy Finley of the Clinton Central Bulldogs football team. That is the end of the first quarter. We're going to take a short break, but we will be right back. You are listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winske Brothers and Healthy Communities.
You know, at Winske Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you. Our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winske Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street or online at winskebrothers.com.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Do you want to get more customers for your business? And what's the right media to buy? Don here, your small business marketing expert. If you advertise on the internet, are you getting sick of your internet ads being blocked by pesky ad blockers? You know, with radio, you never have to worry about your ad getting blocked by a browser extension.
Also, are you fed up with the high costs of primetime TV advertising while viewers skip through your ads? With radio, you won't have to break the bank to reach a wide audience. And unlike newspapers' high cost, declining readership, and limited reach, radio is everywhere. Radio is the cool, ultimate, in-the-moment medium. We're like a best friend who's always there for you. So why settle for less? Call us today and start growing your business.
Hi, I'm Russ Casper with Casper Media. Promote your business with WILO, Boone 102.7, Clinton, Carroll, and Boone County Daily News, We Love Big Deals, and Hoosierland TV. Call me, Russ Casper, or station manager Cindy Lovelace, and we'll show you how we can help you build your business. Call 765-659-3338 or go to yeswelovelocal.com.
Back once again on Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. Kyle Etherington joined by Melissa Miller on this relatively cool Saturday morning.
It's fall.
It's fall.
It's football weather.
It's football weather, absolutely. World Series weather, too. Shout out to our nephews up in Canada. They were celebrating the Toronto Blue Jays win last night. Also, some local area sports scores from last night's football first round of the state tournament. Western Boone was a winner against North Putnam, 49-42. They're going to be moving on to the next round to face Southmont, who was a winner in their contest against Delphi, 48-12. Lebanon, in sectional 20, was a victor over Culver Academies, 39-19. They will move on to the next round. They will be playing Frankfort in the next round. Eastern, the Hoosier Heartland Conference champions, were victorious in their opening round game against Blackford, 53-7. They will be taking on the Tipton Blue Devils in the next round. And this last score is just a special one of note. The Western Panthers and everyone, including the class of 2002, Furby was behind all of you last night, victorious against West Lafayette, 20-14. So
yep, they knocked off the Red Devils.
Knocked off the Red Devils, absolutely. Well, we're not talking about Red Devils or Panthers or anything like that. We're talking about Cougars. Blake Betzner is on the line. Coach, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing it just fine. Going into last night's game, Coach, a lot of emotion, to say the least. Playing a team like Winnemac, always a difficult team to face no matter their record coming in. Overall thoughts on the game last night heading in?
Yeah, we had a tough week. Grant Prather is a young man that has helped our football since I've been there. He's helped the football program. During the day, he'd helped fold laundry for us, so he's always been around our football program pretty much since the day I arrived. This year, he was an honorary captain for us. He would go out with us, the coin toss, and just was around all the time. And, you know, we do a lot of Bible studies. We have some team dinners, and then afterwards, if they want to stay around, they can stay, go to Bible studies. And the week before, we talked a lot about just a bunch of stuff, and joy kept coming up. And Grant Prather represents joy in every way I could imagine. So if you were around him, you never said a bad thing about him. He was always so happy. He brought joy to Carroll Schools every single day and to each one of our players. So it was a big hit for us. I mean, you know, any injury we've ever had didn't even come close to what we felt like this week with Grant and what he was going through. So, you know, prayers for his family, prayers for our kids, prayers for our community. He was a great, great young man that will be missed every single day. So that's kind of how our week went through and started. But we went into the Winnemac game. I've been on the headsets at Winnemac for about 4 years, so I knew the place very, very well. I coached with Coach Burgess and Coach Hendricks, their offensive defense coordinator. Again, we're very close. We know each other very well. It's John's brother. They know our offense. They know what we do. We scrimmage them in the summer. We do weightlifting contests with them in the summer. We're two teams that know each other very well, and the coaching staffs know each other very well. We knew kind of what it was going to be like. We weren't going to surprise them. They weren't going to surprise us, and it was a battle. And it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, a night where we had to go out and compete, and we had to go out and play, and we fought through a bunch of stuff, and we came out successful. And that's what I told the guys afterwards. It wasn't pretty, but it doesn't matter at this point. It's a win and move on and stay alive. So that's what we're trying to do.
Well, you've certainly got a resilient bunch in the Carroll Cougar football team. Just going up against a team that knows you as well as they did, and being able to just try to find that spirit, that positivity, that joy. I'm sure that not only being physically tired is something that you all are feeling, but also mentally tired as well. Kind of talk about heading up there to the game. Was it just an absolute struggle just to get on the bus and everything like that, or were you all just wanting to go out there and just play as hard as you possibly could, just knowing everything going into it? Because I've been there a lot of times where it's tough just to get yourself out of your teacher's chair when something like that happens.
Yeah, I think every high school kids all take it differently. You know, I mean, they all shoulder the burden and shoulder the sadness, but how they react is so different. You know, some of them are, you know, sad, very sad. Some of them are very quiet. Some of them joke, you know, just to try to laugh. And, you know, so there's so many different emotions. But, you know, I thought last night we got to the game, and it brought us closer together as a team. I really, you know, we talked a lot about before the game, and, you know, that's about the closest I've seen our team be. So I think that was a cool thing that, you know, I do think it's brought us, you know, as a, you know, when something like this happens, you realize football's not very important, you know, where, you know, football game on a Friday night really doesn't mean a whole lot. So, we reiterate that to the kids, you know, don't, you know, something happens on a Friday night, shouldn't ruin your Saturday and Sunday with your family. Your family's way more important than, you know, things in life are way more important than a Friday night football game. So, I mean, I think it just brings back to life of, you know, the things we've taught them, you know, the things we hit every day, you know, become a great man, be a great father, be a great husband, you know. So I think those things are reiterated when things like this happen.
And one thing to keep in mind as well, looking forward, not just to this week, but also to next Friday night, got a pretty big game coming up against a very familiar foe. Once again, no rest for the weary in terms of the gridiron. The Taylor Titans going to be playing at Carroll this Friday. Taylor victorious against North White last night, 85-6. Coach, heading into not just this week, but heading into the game against Taylor, what are your initial thoughts? Because earlier in the season, it was a heck of a humdinger of a game, to say the least, as my grandmother would say.
Yeah, we weren't real healthy last night. Emory Deaton was dinged a little bit. He did not play at all last night. So when you take a young man like that off the field and isn't able to help you offensively or defensively, it really changes some things. But, you know, I'm proud of the guys that came in. Dixon Ayers, about all 103 pounds of him, played middle linebacker all night for us last night, and, you know, played well, and he fought every, you know, I don't know if you know his brother, and his two brothers, Cohen and Jackson, played for us.
Oh, yeah.
Last couple of years, really good players. He's going to be that. He's only a sophomore, but he's not very big, but, man, he played big. And Kale Hernandez didn't play against Clint very much, and he came in and he played, and he's about 135 pounds. So if you looked out on us, if you looked out on the field, you saw two guys playing, you know, within 5 yards of the ball, weighed about 140 pounds each, or if that. So, but they played hard, and they did what they were supposed to do, and I'm proud of them. But, you know, hopefully we can get Emory feeling healthy again. Aiden Wiles is a little dinged up from the Sheridan game, so we was kind of limited, and, you know, get him healthy again. So we need to be healthy against Taylor, because we all know what they do, that we all know the kind of athletes they have, and it's gonna be a fun game. It's one of those 1A football games that, you know, could go a lot of different ways. You better be ready, or, you know, it could be a rout. So, or, you know, the other way, if you play well, it can go anyway. So we gotta tell our kids, you know, we gotta refocus. It's gonna be another tough week next week. Grant's funeral will be at the school on Tuesday, so it's gonna be another tough week for our guys, and, you know, going through those things. So they gotta, you know, take care of that, and, you know, get there and support their family and the community, and just do what we can getting ready for Friday night.
And has there been any information released on what time the times or anything like that? Because I wanted to give you the opportunity to get that out to as many people as possible, because anything that we can do to, you know, assist in getting that message out about Grant Prather, you know, we definitely want to be able to do here.
Yeah, he will. It's just a funeral, and at this point, it looks like it'll just be at 1 o'clock at the high school. So, not a viewing at this point, just a funeral, and starts at 1 o'clock at the high school.
One thing that I can vividly remember back to the last 20 years of coaching and teaching is kids becoming part of your extended family. We were talking with Coach Finley about how he became very, very attached to his number 51, and the fact that a player is now wearing his number was very important to him. Kind of talk about the attachment that you get, not just to the kids that play for you, but also anyone who might be a captain, an honorary captain, or even just a community member or a student as well, because I think that's something that a lot of people don't understand in terms of just the emotional joys and lows that can bring in being a teacher and a coach.
Oh, absolutely. I've said this, you know, you don't become a coach to win football games or any kind of game. If you do, you are in it for the wrong thing. You know, you need to be coaching college. You need to be if you're a high school coach and you don't love being around kids and you don't love being invested in kids, you know, you're wasting your time, because, you know, wins are nice, but, you know, they don't matter. You know, you need to change those kids' lives. You need to be a support system for them. So, every one of them. Our five seniors, you know, I've had them, you know, I've been here the whole time they were here, and, you know, I'm really close to all five of them. I mean, they're all like, you know, sons to me. You know, I would do anything. They know that I'd do anything for them. And, yeah, when you're around kids that many years, you really get to know them. You can joke around with them. You're close to their families. So, I think that I see that sometimes. It's just like teachers. You know, when you stop loving being around kids, you probably shouldn't be a teacher anymore. You know, no kid cares what you know about math if you don't care about them. So, and that's the same thing with football. They don't care what you know about football or basketball or baseball if they know you don't care about them and you just care about your system or, you know, winning games. So I think that's the hard part with coaching sometimes. You get too intertwined with the stuff that doesn't matter. And, you know, you're here to be a high school football coach and teacher to care about kids.
And as you send your sons out onto the field, you mentioned that one of your linebackers weighed 103 pounds and the other one didn't weigh much more. My dad always talked about how difficult it was for him being 5'5" and bald, Melissa. And I haven't weighed 103 pounds since I was about 2 years old. So do you give them extra Gatorade? Do you just smack them in the back of the head? I mean, Coach, I'll throw it to you, and then Melissa, growing up with the brothers and everything, I'll throw it to Melissa as well. But, Coach, how do you get a guy psyched up to play linebacker at 103 pounds? I'd be scared out of my mind.
Well, Jack Sayers, you know, my first year here, he wrestled at 132, and he's probably one of the best middle linebackers we've ever coached. I mean, he was really, really good at 132 pounds. So, and I think Dixon weighed the semi-state at 103. I don't know what the weights are. Either 103 or 106, whatever that low weight is now. But, you know, I watched film. The Havinga kid from Clinton Prairie, he's not much bigger than that, and he is everywhere. And those are the kind of kids I just love watching play. He was the kid I watched on film just circling all the time to show our kids. You play with that motor, it doesn't matter how big you are. You can make plays all over the field. So stop telling me you can't do it because you're not big enough or you're not strong enough or whatever. It's just determination at that point. And, yeah, I've used his name a lot in our system of that kid's really good, and we need to play more like that. So, but that's what we tell him. It doesn't matter your size. It's just will you put your head where it shouldn't be? And that's 90% of football.
Well, and that's the thing I've found with kids like that, and I don't know whether there's a correlation to it or not, but I've always found it that it's kids that play football and wrestle that are, for lack of a better term, squirrely. And quite frankly, when they're that way on the field, they get it done. They can get through. I watched a kid, and this is back in the day, but I watched a kid that was like 100, like you said, 103 pounds, play a middle linebacker. And this kid went underneath people. He went through their legs and tackled the quarterback. I mean, it's just crazy what they can do, and I think there's a little bit of a little element of crazy in there too, in their mindset.
Yes, I agree.
I'm starting to think about AP psychology, the Napoleon complex, and Coach, before I start psychoanalyzing your players and everybody else like that, heading into this game against Taylor, a familiar opponent, the scouting report, you know, pretty easy to understand, I'm sure. It's not an unfamiliar foe. And being in those trenches, how important is the line going to be this coming Friday night with all the ghouls and goblins that are out and about as well?
I know, we're trying, you know, we win the game, and my daughter goes, can I go trick-or-treating next Friday, or am I going to go to the game? You know, she's a sixth grader. I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe we can take you early. You know, I say Florida's a small town. They should just change it to Saturday, but I don't think that's going to happen. But, no, you know, we know them really well, obviously. They don't, you know, we got to score. We got to move the ball. They're going to have opportunity to score. They'll spread you out. They'll throw the ball everywhere. You know, them offensively, they don't really have to win the line of scrimmage. They just got to control the line of scrimmage, and then they will, you know, try to pick you apart on the outside. We're the opposite. We got to dominate the line of scrimmage offensively and just keep moving the ball and make sure we score because we know they have big play capabilities. It happened last night. They don't do anything offensively. They had 250-yard passes, and that's how they, you know, they scored their 14 points and, you know, two plays. And I bet the rest of the game they might have had 20 yards total offense. So we got to stop those big plays, and, you know, if we do, we'll be fine.
And, Coach, thank you so much for joining us. That's Blake Betzner of the Carroll Cougars. Got a big game coming this Friday night, not just against the Taylor Titans, but also with the possibility of Halloween playing a huge role. Coach, we will make sure that we do not wear our masks after the holiday this Friday when we cover the Carroll Cougars. Sound good?
Yep. Thank you guys so much for doing all you guys do.
Hey, thank you. That will conclude the second quarter halftime here on Inside the Huddle. We will be right back. You are listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfurt?
Timberman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
At Healthy Communities in Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit HealthyClintonCounty.org.
Are you a student studying broadcasting at an Indiana college or university? Then come to the Indiana Broadcasters Association Fall Career Fair on Wednesday, October 23rd at 4:45 p.m. Radio and TV stations from across Indiana will accept resumes during the one-day event in Carmel. You can update your resume on site with expert help. And attendees also have the chance to win Apple gift cards, Beats headphones, and an iPhone. More details and a list of jobs available can be found at IndianaBroadcasters.org. That's IndianaBroadcasters.org.
Part of your life for over 60 years. We are
WILO Weather for Lebanon, Michigan Town, Clarksville.
A true friend you counted on for over 60 years.
Clinton County's 7-day a week news media. This is WILO and WILO FM, Frankfort, Indiana.
We always will be part of your life.
On AM 1570, WILO Frankfort at the transmitter site. Frank Gunning along with you. We now have four broadcasters of WILO, Marty Hiddle and Dennis Bergendorf, as well as Russ Casper.
When you need to know, use WILO.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
Today we'll have mostly cloudy skies with a high of 58. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 41. Sunday, the clouds stick around. We'll see a high of 59. Monday, chance of morning showers, otherwise partly sunny and a high of 58. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. Real-time weather radar 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County, DailyNews.com.
Back once again to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. Kyle Etherington, Melissa Miller, getting visions of Notre Dame Fighting Irish and Rudy with those 103-pound linebackers.
Yeah,
just a little bit. As much as it pains me to say that as a diehard Indiana Hoosier fan.
I like all Indiana schools. I really do. I love the programs that we have, not only educationally, but also the sports programs. And you know, even going down to DePaul and you know, the smaller junior colleges, it's just, we're very lucky. We are very fortunate here in the state of Indiana.
And I'm a big Indiana Hoosier fan. We've got Lexi Ellenwood on the phone. I'm sorry, Melissa. I can't support every single one. I think they're great institutions, but when it comes to sports, I just can't do it.
If you're going to put IU and Notre Dame in the same boat.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Sorry, dude.
I know. Trust me. I've got enough problems already.
And all right. Well, we got volleyball to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to take a break from the gridiron because we've got Lexi Ellenwood of the Rossville Lady Hornets volleyball team. A familiar phrase, Coach. The Rossville Hornets in the regional once again. Overall thoughts going into regional today.
Well, we are first and foremost very grateful for the opportunity. We've worked really hard this season. You know, this was one of our very clear goals from the get-go, was not only to return to regionals, but we are working really hard to advance out of them. So this year, we were just talking in practice yesterday, apologies, the girls were saying, you know, last year it felt very much like, this is very exciting, we're just happy to be here, you know, but this time around it's more of a, okay, we've seen it, we've been here before, and now we're going to do something about it.
And that regional is going to be played at Elwood against Northfield at 4 p.m. today. One thing in particular that fans can participate in is that there is going to be a bus send-off at the school around 1:25 p.m. in the main parking lot as well. So if you are a huge Rossville Hornet fan, if you're a fan of all Clinton County schools, which we most certainly support, do not be like me when it comes to college sports. Support every team as possible. Or if you just like to yell, get out there and make sure that you support the Lady Hornets as they head on to Elwood to face Northfield. Looking ahead to Northfield, what do you know about them?
Well, we know that they only play 7 players. So they have everybody play all the way around except their outside hitters, and then they have their libero come in for them, which is kind of unusual. Usually you have your libero running in for your middles, but their middles are their big go-to hitters along with their right side. So it's a very different style of play. And then they run a very different defense. Now, I've seen them run multiple kinds of defenses, but the one that they've run most recently is called middle-up defense, and it's quite the opposite, actually, of the perimeter defense that most of us run. So it's been fun trying new things in practice to prepare for that.
And especially with this sectional championship, it almost kind of becomes second nature, Rossville winning a volleyball sectional, at least in the last decade or so. The path that you took to get just to that championship, very familiar foes going against Clinton Central and then Clinton Prairie and then ultimately defeating Carroll in the championship. Kind of talk about that road, because it's difficult to beat a team more than once throughout the course of a season, and you saw those teams quite a bit throughout this entire season.
Yeah, I think Clinton Central we saw 3 times. Clinton Prairie, if you count the scrimmage, we saw them 3 times, and then of course we play Carroll in the regular season as well. And so it's not everyone's favorite thing to play a team 3 times, but I really like the challenge because you always hear that saying, you know, it's impossible to do that. And I think, again, proving that we can do hard things to ourselves all the time is just that great confidence booster that we need to prove that we're not just a fluke, right? Like we've worked very hard to get where we are. We are a good team, and we need to be able to believe that. A team 3 times in a season isn't my favorite thing to have to do multiple times, but I'm glad that we work to overcome that and we prove that we can do it.
Melissa, when you were a youngin, a youngling, if you will, how would you prepare mentally, not just for any type of athletic competition, but with your brothers as well?
Well, with my brothers, it was definitely I wanted to do everything better than what they did. So that was my motivation for everything, you know, because they were star athletes in their own right. And so for me, being at the beginning of women's sports, and I'm loving seeing everything that we're seeing here in the county and with Rossville, with Clinton Central Prairie, everybody, because I remember when that first started, because I was a freshman when that first started. And, that's the motivation for me is I'm going to do it better than any boy ever did. So, but, Coach, going into this, and you've got an amazing group of players where you can rotate out. I mean, you're talking about they have seven players, and that's all they play. And that's okay, but to me, that's almost limiting as well. What are your thoughts on that?
It does, and it really depends on the depth of the bench, right? So, like, if they do get in a pinch, I've only watched a few of their games, and they haven't had to sub people in, but, you know, there's possibility that they do have that ability as well. But I talk to the girls all the time about how wonderful a problem it is to have the depth that we do. You know, a lot of people that may not see the court a ton on my team would absolutely see the court a ton on others. And I'm grateful that I have girls who are able to recognize their role and know that just because they're not seeing the court doesn't mean they're not incredibly valuable. We focused a lot this last week on making sure, you know, the other side of the court, whoever's scrimmaging against the core players at the moment, like, they are upping their game. They are doing everything that they possibly can to help improve the team as a whole. But not only that, I mean, a lot of coaches will tell you the bench matters so much in the momentum that your team gains. And so we have been really emphasizing that just because we don't see the court does not mean that you are not a vital part of this team. And I think all of our girls have taken that to heart so incredibly well in the past at least 2 weeks, emphasizing that a lot. So I've been very grateful to have the depth that I have, even if there is something that goes wrong and we do need to make those adjustments, whether it's just a different look in serve receive or maybe there's an injury and I need to pull somebody else in, I still feel confident that anyone I pull off of that bench to come in and do the job will do it well.
And they're also very self-motivated, too. That was one of the main reasons I wanted to bring Melissa in on that as well, because a lot of these girls have no problem mixing it up, not just with each other when they're in practice, but also mixing it up whenever the boys become involved in any type of athletic competition. Kind of talk about the self-motivation that this group has had, because in years past, a lot of times a team can get down on itself and not be able to pick themselves back up. And with this group, it seems like they've really done an excellent job of not letting themselves go down that rabbit hole like a lot of teams we've seen it all throughout the state the last couple of years.
Yeah, I brag to people all the time about our mental toughness. Last season, I think that was something that we really struggled with and was probably one of the bigger battles we had to fight in that regional game. But this season, I can't think of a time that we didn't respond when things got tough. You know, even in the games that we lost, when we got down, we fought, and I never felt like we quit or we gave up or anything of the sort. We talk a lot about having what the girls like to call a goldfish memory where, you know, a mistake happens and we continue to move forward regardless. You allowing yourself to forget about that mistake allows you to fully invest in the next point, and so we're really big on point by point, set by set, play by play, and not worrying about things that have happened in the past because it's not anything that you can change. And I think the girls have done a really great job embracing that. It's something that gets mentioned in our huddles in practice every day, in games every time that we're there. So it's been a huge emphasis. And most of these games from here on out are just going to be mental battles. Who can stay mentally tough the longest? And I believe our girls will do that.
And, Coach, as we kind of conclude our third quarter here with you, because I know you got some a lot more important things to do today than talk to me, obviously, A lot of treats have been brought to your girls and getting them hyped up for this big game today at 4 in the afternoon. And we talked last week about the candy situation on the bench. What is going to be the go-to snack for the Rossville Lady Hornets taking the floor today at Elwood against Northfield?
So we bring a snackle box, if you ever heard one of those. So there's usually about 8 different snacks in there. But a consistent one is always the Nerds clusters, the Nerds gummy clusters. The girls attack those pretty quickly. So my guess is that'll be the fan favorite today.
Well, hopefully it leads to a lot of great play and a lot of extra energy as the Rossville Lady Hornets heading to Elwood to play Northfield at 4 p.m. You can send the team off from the main parking lot at Rossville High School around 1:25 p.m. today. Coach, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you guys so much. You have a great day.
You too. That was Lexi Ellenwood of the Rossville Lady Hornets volleyball team. That will conclude the third quarter. We will be back in just a few moments. You are listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit HealthyClintonCounty.org.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and HoosierLandTV.com archive. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Folks ask, Salty Pete, what's the best part of being a pirate? Hello? It's all the buried treasure. I've been following this here treasure map all day. Time to dig. Oh, I went through a lesson, old Charlie was... Arr!
You just hit a power line.
Contact Indiana 811 at least 2 working days before picking up a shovel. It's the only way to dig. Learn more at 811.safedigindiana.com.
Sponsored by the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission and aired by this station.
Back once again on Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. Fourth quarter now on this Inside the Huddle tournament edition. A lot of state playoffs going on. Volleyball, football, going back to the gridiron. Coach Kurt Schlicker of the Clinton Prairie Gophers is on the line. Coach, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Well, we're having some phone issues, and I'm having to wear sunglasses because I had some eye laser treatment. So other than that, we're doing pretty darn well, but not that you needed to know that or anything. Please don't throw anything at me, Melissa. Heading in to the sectional draw, you never know what the ping pong ball gods are going to give you, and Clinton Prairie finds itself with a matchup against the Sheridan Blackhawks. So, Coach, a familiar foe. What's the game plan heading into this week?
Well, you know, we had the bye week this week, and, of course, they did as well with the spring sectional that we had. With two of the schools in our sectional basically dropping out in the middle of the season. So there were three teams overall who had bye. So we're very similar to Sheridan this week. Neither one of us had a, you know, game to prepare for where we probably would have. And so, you know, we try to treat this week a little bit like a game week. We had a night practice on Thursday. And, you know, we worked out every day throughout the week. And, you know, obviously Sheridan provides a tough opponent. You know, you look at their season, you know, their defense has been outstanding pretty much all season. And, you know, the good news for us is I think, you know, we got a home game. And this is something that we kind of knew when we played them the first time this year. I think we talked as a group that we would probably see them again. And so here they are. And, you know, we're trying to put together the best game plan we can right now to get a win next Friday night.
Now, I know you can't give us the playbook or anything like that, but what's going to be kind of your kind of things that you're looking for in terms of being able to take down the Blackhawks as well? Kind of what are your Kurt's keys to the game, if you will?
Well, I think, you know, we've watched pretty much most of their season because based on when we played them early, we got to see their early game. And now that we're playing them late, we've seen their late game. So, you know, I think keys to beating Sheridan are always, number one would be, you know, turnovers. I think in the games that we've struggled this year, we've lost the turnover battle. And, you know, turnovers always play a big part. It was a big part in the first game when we played Sheridan. We had a couple of turnovers that really hurt us. So, you know, obviously we stressed in taking care of the ball. But, you know, as important as that is our defense, you know, working to take it away. Number two, when you play Sheridan, right, you know that if you can't stop their run, then they're just going to keep running it. I'm not saying that they can't pass. They definitely have some skilled players on the perimeter. But Sheridan, you know, if they can grind it out, they will. And so, you know, obviously we're focused on trying to stop their basic runs. We had some success at that the first game. Not enough. And then, you know, number three is, you know, you got to find a way to put points on the board. You know, you look at the scores in last night's games across the state. Now, very, very, very few teams won last night who didn't score at least in the 20s. You know, you got to put the ball in the end zone. So, obviously, you know, that's, we're talking about three different type things there, but I think that's essentially been the game plan. You know, they're going to kind of know what we do. We kind of know what they do, just who can execute the best.
And one thing in particular that I kind of noticed with those scores is, as you said, they've kind of ballooned quite a bit. You're having, you know, 20, 30, 40. We even had an 80 points scored. Is that just because teams are starting to hit their stride? Or are they just getting favorable buys? What do you think kind of plays into that?
I think it's a combination of many things. I do. Obviously, I think by this point in the season, you would hope that your offense is hitting on all cylinders. You know, you've kind of figured out who you are and what you want to be. But also, you know, if you turn around and then look at the losing scores, I think what you see is defenses as well. You give yourself, when your defense is playing well, right, you win the field position battle, you may win the turnover battle. You know, a lot of teams that lost last night did not score, you know, in the 20s. So I think if you get into it, you know, your defense plays a big part in it. And even though the offenses are scoring a lot of points, a lot of times it's because the defense is putting them in that position, right, the field position. Getting the three and out, getting the other team off the field. And then, you know, and it's true. I think you get to this point in the year, some people will look at their draw and think, we got no chance. I mean, that's just the honest-to-God truth, right? Some teams have got a draw last night. It's like they're not going to, you know, I looked at the 1A across the state this morning, right? There's nobody ranked in the top 10 who got beat last night, right? And they all won by fairly handy margins. So, you know, part of that is a mental part. You know, you go into a game, and in football, right, you doubt whether you can win, and if you fall behind early, sometimes it's easy to all of a sudden not make that tackle or not make that block, and the next thing you know, the score can be pretty lopsided.
And Melissa, one thing that I always liked about being doubted and being the underdog, especially on, you know, John Harrell, because, you know, there are very few people in the state of Indiana that don't use John Harrell. I always liked being the underdog just because that meant, you know.
Well, and Coach, I mean, we've talked about this before on and off the air. Sheridan just kind of, everybody hears the name Sheridan, and they automatically think of Bud Wright and his legacy, and it's like you said, it's a mindset. But we all know that they're beatable, and we all know that you have the talent. Your kids especially have the talent to go in there and take them down. Literally.
Well, you know, I think for us, you know, our schedule, the way our schedule falls sometimes is that the second part of our schedule can be pretty difficult. And it's very physical. Obviously, you're playing teams like Eastern, who had a monster win last night, a big win. Carroll, who also, you know, was able to pull through last night. So, you know, we've definitely been playing some physical teams here. You know, to beat Sheridan, you got to match their physicality. You do. They're going to play physical style of football. And you got to be able to match that, you know. And you say beat that. Well, you got to match it, right? And then at some point, right, like you said, we have some skill. We definitely have some talent. Excuse me. So, you know, if we can match that physicalness, you know, our kids have they've worked hard all throughout the offseason. I think the first time we played Sheridan, they did kind of smack us in the mouth a couple times. And, you know, I'm not saying we backed down. I'm just saying we kind of, whoa, like our eyes were open. So we've definitely seen some of that here in the last month or so. So our kids know what to expect. And you're right, there's a mental part, but every team is its own team, right? This Sheridan team is not even coached by Bud anymore. And so, you know, it's a similar type team. But, you know, we're not playing, I always try to tell the kids, we're playing the game, not the name, right? You're playing the game, right? We're playing football game, and it doesn't matter who you play, right, that you should be playing to the best of your ability in the same way each and every week. So, you know, our goal is to play the game, and we really don't care what the name of the other team is.
One of the greatest compliments I ever got from Chad Gahabe was he looked at me, Melissa, and he said, Etherington, he wants to beat them before they even get off the school bus and take their lunch money a lot of the time. So, speaking of the win one for the Gipper type moments a little bit, Coach, you know and I know and Melissa knows that those type of speeches don't happen as often as they make it seem in the movies, but I would be crazy if I didn't take this opportunity to ask you, what is a sports movie that tends to fire you up just thinking about it, or maybe you watch it before a big game like going against the Sheridan? Are there any favorites that you're going to make sure that you take a look at this week other than game film, obviously?
Well, you know, I've showing my age, I've been around a long time, so I've had a lot of different coaches. I've coached a lot of guys, and guys have shown movies. Right, we've watched even like Miracle, right? Even though it has nothing to do with football, right? It has something to do with sports, you know, from the Rudys to the you name it, where the underdog seems to, you know, come pull through. But, you know, I would say in terms of like of something like that, I really believe it's just a mindset. You know, you've got to convince yourself, you got to convince your kids that they're capable of getting it done, and. You know, so, you know, if you got a movie that's guaranteed a victory, hey, we'll watch it. but, you know, I think, it's, you know, as much as, right, I mean, as much as anything here, you know, we try to build our kids up, you know, even though, you know, the record is what it is. And I would say this about our team this year, right? We scrimmaged Southmont. Well, if you look at Southmont's record right now, they're, and I thought we did great that day in our scrimmage before the season, right? Southmont is. They won again last night. They're either 8-2 or 9. They're a great team, right? Frontier's still undefeated. We played them. You know, we were able to get a couple wins there earlier in the year. You know, Taylor's a strong team, Carroll. So we're prepared. We've seen some very good football teams this year, and we've seen different styles. Our kids are prepared for, you know, whatever it's going to be next Friday night. I think the biggest thing for us is psychologically it's a home game. I think that's helpful. You know, I always say, if you are the underdog, right, you'd rather play at home. You really would. And I think that that'll matter, and that'll help us next week to get them on our home turf.
It's going to be a wild time in the Old Prairie this coming Friday, not just because it's Halloween, but because Sheridan is going to be in town to play the hometown Gophers. You can catch that game in person, but you can also catch that game right here on AM 1570, 96.9 WILO, and Boone 102.7 with pregame starting at 6:45. Coach, best of luck this week in your preparation, but I got to ask you one last question as we're getting close to our college picks. Where are you right now?
I'm at Martinsville. driving through the traffic is actually a bit of a pain right here. I'd like to some of these cars maybe move out of the left lane here.
Well, just so you know, there was an accident down that way, so you might find some backup. Well, so just be careful.
Yes, I know. You know, this is a big game today, Fry. You always say you get it. It's hard to go undefeated. So, you know, I always have ultimate respect for teams that are undefeated at this point here because there's so many potential pitfalls, right? They're, you know, like, you know, we know UCLA. I'm just saying, like, you know they have the talent to make this an interesting game today. So, I take nothing for granted as a fan, and you know, so this should be a good one today. And there's a lot of good college football games out there today. You know, it's a long season, so you know, each and every week has its own storyline to it. And you know, I'm just excited it's not raining, to be honest with you. And it really feels like football weather, to be honest with you. These 50 degrees, I like this. 50s. This week in practice has felt more like football, right? It's not hot anymore, so it's football weather.
Well, good luck this week. Safe travels, and keep the barbecue warm for the Etherington family, because we're heading down in just a little bit here, too. So go Hoosiers as well.
All right. Safe travels. Thanks again for all the coverage you give us.
Hey, thank you. That was Coach Kirk Schlicker of the Clinton Prairie Gophers football team. Got a big game against the Sheridan Blackhawks. You can catch that game by seeing it in person at Clinton Prairie or by tuning in on AM 1570, 96.9 WILO, and Boone's 102.7 pregame with Sam and myself, starts at 6:45 that night. And Melissa, you're going to get to pick some college football games, because that's what the co-host does.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't write the rules, and I didn't write the law or anything.
Uh-huh.
And we're not going to debate anything political, because we're going to keep it sports, because we could have another two and a half hour show with that, too.
You know that.
All right. So I've got the picks. I will let you know what Sam picked, okay?
Yeah.
And here's what we got. The first game is number 15 Missouri at 6-1, traveling to number 10 Vanderbilt, who is also 6-1. Now, Sam took Vanderbilt. Melissa, who are you taking in that?
Yeah, but Missouri U has been playing some stellar football. I mean, Vanderbilt's good. I know they've got the home advantage, but I'm going to take Missouri.
And take Missouri on that one?
I think they are they're coming into their own as the season progresses.
We're going to hold you to that one. This is a tough one for me. I will take Missouri as well in that. So, Sam, sorry about that, my friend. This next one might have a little bit more of agreement on. Number 3, Texas A&M at 7-0, travels to Death Valley to play LSU. Number 20, LSU, who is 5-2 on the year. Sam took Texas A&M. Melissa, who you taking?
I'm going to take LSU. It is hard to go into Death Valley and win.
Okay.
I know A&M is playing stellar ball right now, but it's tough to play the Tigers
on their
home field.
I do not have a single dog in this fight, except I know that Texas A&M plays at Kyle Field. So I will take Texas A&M for the simple fact that they have a very familiar sounding name to their field.
Yeah.
And then lastly, this one's for a longtime listener, longtime caller, a little boy named Jamie. Rutgers, 3-4, travels to Purdue today at 2-5. Melissa, for that little boy Jamie, Sam picked Rutgers.
Yeah.
Who are you going to pick for that little boy, Jamie?
I'm sorry, Jamie. I remember when you were a little boy, but I'm going to have to go with Rutgers.
All right. And for the simple fact that my wonderful spouse and one of her best friends are going down to Bloomington with me today to watch the Hoosiers go against the UCLA Bruins, just for that simple fact that my Purdue-loving wife is wearing any form of red today, I'm going to simply say this. Boiler up, hammer down, Jamie. That one is for you, my friend. Melissa, any concluding thoughts other than I should have switched my pick on that one?
No. I mean, I went to Purdue, so I'm kind of a Boilermaker, but I'm going to be watching the Irish today. I'll check the scores at the end of the day. The Irish is where I'm going to be in front of the TV, whether my grandson and my granddaughters want me to put on Baby Shark or not. It's still going to be Irish on the TV.
Hey, as long as they're not doing 6-7 too much or saying doot-doot-doot-doot too much, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah,
so
they'll survive.
That'll be great. Hey, thank you so much for spending a little bit of your time with us on this Saturday. Remember, you can check out Inside the Huddle tomorrow night at 7 p.m. You can also check us out on Spotify, or you can check us out on any social media, whether it's myself, Sam, or Melissa. like I said to Sam, we're like the common cold. There's just no way of getting rid of us. So many options for you to listen to us each and every week. Thank you once again for joining us. This has been Kyle Etherington and Melissa Miller. You have been listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. So long, everybody.